Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. It's the Tony Perkins Show, featuring Gary Stein. No, they're not related. They're just good friends. It's Tony and Gary.
We're gonna have a good time.
Now we have to pay royalties.
You say it's my birthday.
Ow.
Happy birthday to me. Yes.
Nothing like self-celebration.
Well, you know. You know what?
This must mean something. It must mean something.
It is a special day. We're actually doing the show on my birthday.
Yeah.
And I'm thrilled.
I am too. I'm thrilled you had another one. I'm thrilled you're getting closer to me.
Thank you, Beatles. Thank you, Beatles. We can bring the Beatles down now.
I see true joy in Gary's eyes.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I always love when somebody celebrates themselves.
Well, I'm not trying to celebrate myself, but, you know, this is kind of cool. This is our new venture.
Yes.
I'm very happy that we are all together on my actual birthday to do the show and present a new episode of the Tony Perkins Show featuring Gary Stein. Speaking of which, I'm your host, Tony Perkins, and he's...
I'm the co-host without a birthday, Gary Stein.
Well, we'll celebrate on your birthday.
I had one in June, and you were there for it.
June 11th. Right?
Thank you very much. Now, listen, I'm a little embarrassed because...
Why?
Well, I drove down to D.C., of course, again to do the show, and I didn't remember that it was your birthday until... And I was going to buy you something really, really, really expensive. I wasn't even sure what it is. I just said to myself, this is the year that I owe Tony something like a Lamborghini or a new watch. Those are very far away from each other.
But
I did think of something. You know what? I did do something.
Did you really?
Yeah, because I thought that we'd probably all sing happy birthday to you, and it would sound about as bad as yours version of the Beatles song just now. So I didn't want to do that to you.
Okay.
But there is out there in the stratosphere, there is a very special happy birthday that I can't do, that I look forward to every time on my birthday. And it's also been done in many places for other people's birthdays.
Mm-hmm.
So I would like my special guest to say hello and offer Tony your special birthday. Would you do that, please?
Hello, Tony. I just want to let you know, dear, this didn't cost Gary a penny, but let me tell you something, baby. This is priceless.
Oh, that's my lovely bride, Sarah Partridge, who is the best jazz singer in the country.
She's wonderful.
Yeah. I didn't have to twist her arm to do this, but she did give me a look.
Oh, this is so wonderful. Sarah?
Now, I have to tell you, on such late notice, I was not able to employ the Count Basie band, so you'll just have to go with the a cappella version, okay?
I think I'm going to love that even more.
She's going to do it Acapulco.
Acapulco, yes.
Are you ready?
Al Capone. Yes, please, Sarah.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, my dear Tony. Happy birthday to you.
Wow.
Happy birthday, baby.
Oh, my goodness. Woo! Sarah, thank you so much.
See,
I feel like John F. Kennedy right now with Marilyn Monroe singing to him. Sarah, that's beautiful. Thank you so much.
Well, happy birthday, my dear. And I know you take good care of my husband when he's there, so enjoy your show.
Thank you
so
much.
Sarah.
This is a great way to kick it off.
That Happy birthday. Have a great one, Tone.
Thanks, baby. Thank you so much.
Oh, see you guys.
It saved me, Sarah.
I would glad to bail you out.
I prefer this over any of those other gifts. Trust me, I do. Thank you, Sarah.
All right. See you guys.
That's fantastic.
Love you, babe.
Sarah, yep, Gary is married to a very talented woman, Sarah Partridge. I've got all of her CDs. She's a great singer, as you heard. That's very cool.
New CD coming out this year. And it's all originals, Tony.
I told your wife, I don't know if I told you this, but when the CD comes out, we should have her on the show. I want to have her on the show.
Yeah.
My mom is she may be Sarah's biggest fan. She loves her. She loves her. And when I told her that she's working on a new album, she was thrilled.
So, that's great. Yeah. I know your mother has always been, you know, where's the new one? We've sent her everything.
That's right.
So it's great.
That's great. Well, thank you very much. That's a wonderful way to start the show. Oscar Santana is with us once again.
All right. Hey,
Happy to be here. Thank you, fellas.
Yes.
That was beautiful, by the way. Congratulations.
That's great.
Thank you.
Yeah. Rob Fort Jr. is with us. Hello, Rob.
I was actually told that there was going to be cake. What happened to that?
Lies. All lies.
Yeah, really.
We should have cake. You know what? Maybe we'll go next door and get a... like a hostess cupcake.
Oh, we can get something.
Why don't we get cake and cookies?
Cake and cookies. Nice.
Come on.
Another synergy. Podcast.
Look, if I'm plugging Rob's show, he's going to keep plugging mine, right? So.
Part of the Mike O'Mara family.
In fact, I'm always in the mood for cake and cookies.
You know what I'm always in the mood for?
Uh-oh. No, you're not. You can't say that on air.
No, I'm always in the mood for information about tech, new technology.
Yes, who am I?
Yes, and so where do you get information about new technology?
You know, if you listen to a show called Tech 411.
Oh, weird. Oh. Yeah, I love that show.
You can get so much information, and I know you well, Tony, you won't be able to employ any of it.
Well, some of it's over my head. Some of it is over my head. You were talking about
the iPhone, like you knew a thing or two about a thing or two.
I know a couple of things, yeah.
He knows more about the Envy 2. believe me.
But you know what? Can we say something about it? My phone. Has my phone been featured on every show?
Yeah.
Yes, it's an old phone. It still works, though. Yeah. You know, and I have seen over the last couple of weeks two or three other people with this phone. I was at a funeral.
Did any of them have a job?
I didn't talk to them about it.
Did you just mention that you saw your phone at a funeral?
Yes, they buried the phone.
I was at a funeral a few days ago. And the woman sitting in front of me, at one point she opened her purse and was digging through it for looking for mints or something. Mm-hmm. And I happened to see that she had this phone.
Why were you kind of focused on that when you were at a funeral?
Because,
and you probably should have been focused on what was happening there for the dearly departed.
Funny story.
And you're looking at the phone.
Well, I was focused because I also kind of wanted a mint and was trying to figure out a way that could I ask this stranger.
To angle.
Yeah. Could I have a mint too?
Also, your phone's like the Loch Ness Monster. You don't really see it that much anymore.
There's
a few sightings here or there. Right?
That's right. So let me tell you something pathetic that happened in the drive over to the studio. Yo, so I say to Tony, well, it's your birthday, and you know, I didn't get you anything. And I said, but do you know that they still sell the Envy, something like that, the Cobra? And he said, really?
Gen Envy?
Yeah. And he's actually thinking he does need a new phone. He may get the very same one. And I think that is so pathetic. That is so pathetic.
Well, it works for you. That's the most important.
He likes the real keyboard.
I like the real keyboard. Yeah. I don't like the virtual keyboard.
Did you ever have a BlackBerry?
No, never had a BlackBerry.
So because
too high tech.
Well, even the iPhone now has, there's a case for the iPhone that comes with it.
I have seen that, which is very cool.
With the keyboard. I don't know, maybe you should try it for a week or so. You can get a grace period.
Really?
Just to see, well, at least if you know, I know a guy that will give you a grace period.
Okay.
Who's your carrier these days?
Verizon.
Oh, same guy. Yeah, we were
the same guy.
There's one guy.
You know his Verizon. Now one person works at Verizon.
Well, that explains a lot.
I'm a Verizon guy, and my guy is a Verizon guy.
Okay.
And he gave me a test drive on a Samsung for 2 weeks. Because I was going to go to Android.
You climbed on the phone?
And after the test drive,
you don't get
I was
a break, Oscar.
I don't want this, you know?
Hmm. Okay. Yeah. Well, maybe I'll try that. I didn't know you could try it out.
Well, you're not supposed to. But
no, but I think that
men
the
of media, you know how it goes.
Don't they give you like men a 30-day guarantee? And if you can bring it back within 30 days or something?
Maybe. I don't know.
I don't know either.
It's been years.
Do you pay whole price, like wholesale price for that? Where do you usually pick that up? You don't usually, get on a plan for that thing. That thing costs like $20.
I got this 5 or 6 years ago.
Oh, my God.
I'm serious.
How do you still get calls?
It's amazing. About a year ago, I thought, uh-oh, I got to get a new phone because it was acting up. It was dropping calls and everything. It was like it was sick. It got through it.
And now it's sick.
Yeah.
It had a phone virus.
And you nursed it back to health.
He did. One day I saw him rocking the phone. Oh, my God,
You'll
Tony.
Be better, baby.
You know what? I can wait.
I love you. They make fun of you, but I love you.
Tony often kisses inanimate objects.
Well, that's another show.
Oh, wow. It is a different show. Listen, to make it more pathetic,
when
you just go into Verizon and you're willing to sign a new 2-year contract,
yes.
They give you that phone.
For free?
Yes.
Really? Yes. Oh, so it's a giveaway.
Yeah, your phone, what you're carrying is something they're happy to give you for nothing.
The last time I needed a battery for the phone, I went to the phone store and the guy did laugh and he said, "We don't have batteries for this anymore."
No.
I said, "You're kidding." He said, "Well, let me look in the back." And he found one and he gave it to me. He just gave it to me.
Yeah, because it was probably like in the, dead and scratch box. Where it was like, somebody left this here.
Well, they probably didn't have it in the register anymore. Mm-hmm.
And you bought it, right? Did you buy it?
I took it. He gave it. He literally gave it to me.
Wait, he didn't recognize you?
No.
He probably was like, oh, man, that TV guy.
No.
But you know what else he could have given you?
What?
The same phone, brand new, for free, because they're giving it out.
What
he did is he said, you know what? This guy doesn't mind the phone that looks like crap. If I can find a battery, I don't have to give him a brand new one. But it was the same price.
Yeah,
none.
You're right. He
could
have given me a new phone. I'll go back and I'll ask.
I think I have a Verizon 4S iPhone because I'm just a tech snob. I think I have one laying in my kitchen. That in one of the junk drawers.
Give it to him.
That I
yeah.
think you could use.
Okay.
Would you test drive that?
Sure, yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
There we go.
You know what? There's a solution for everything.
That's fantastic. Okay.
Yeah.
That can be your birthday gift to me.
You know what? I can do that.
A test drive
I can do
of
that.
Your phone.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I got to say, we've been talking Verizon a little bit here, and I don't want to, I'm not going to nail them specifically,
mm-hmm.
but this is a little bit of a little catch up about what life was like at Good Morning America. I did mention that Tony has a pet peeve,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yes.
Yes. And one of your pet peeves is one of my pet peeves, and that is traffic. You get a little worse about traffic than I do.
I'm terrible.
But that's a huge pet peeve of yours.
Yeah.
There's another one. And the way I know that is because our offices at Good Morning America were next door to each other. Sometimes you would be on the phone with a provider. It could be your phone provider, your internet provider.
Cable.
It could have been the cable bill, whatever it was. And it would escalate and escalate and escalate to the point where he's now, the door started out open. In the middle of the conversation, the door was closed. And he's screaming, "That's not what I asked you. I just want you to just." So 2 days ago, I was involved in the phone call from hell.
Oh, were you? See?
Yeah.
See?
Yeah. Yeah. And
was it Verizon?
Which utility were you trying to?
Yeah, should we not name them?
No, everybody has good and bad.
I was trying. Listen, I have had very good Verizon experiences. This was not one of them.
Yeah. Was it the DSL you were working with?
Yeah,
the dial-up.
I don't do DSL.
I don't know.
I'm not.
Jersey shot. You know what?
Sorry.
Episode 6. That's pretty good. It took until episode 6.
Do you know that I've noticed that he's talked too much on our show?
Sorry.
He does. He talks too much.
Yeah, I'll back up.
Get Mike away.
Remember you talked about us, about pulling back?
I got fired up.
This would be a good time to pull back.
We were talking about tech, and then I got fired up.
You know what? I'm not tech challenged. I'm not. But I am phone challenged because sometimes you just can't get there.
Oh, I know.
And this was one of those phone calls. Sarah, it was really for Sarah's mother.
Mm-hmm.
And she was trying to arrange for the bill to come to us instead of going to her mother.
Sure.
And no one ever got a bill. So her mother got a phone call saying you owe us for 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't know what to do with that. So Sarah tried to... So after about 45 minutes, and she looked like she was going to have a nervous breakdown, I had to do an intervention.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't work much better for me. But I'll get back to that. I want to say this is the way every phone call begins, which is, how may I give you excellent help today?
Yeah. You know, what?
Well,
right
who wants mediocre help,
right,
for
yeah,
one
right,
thing?
That's right.
You know, well, you can give me excellent help by actually just solving the problem.
That's right.
How may I provide you with excellent help today?
Mm-hmm.
Don't give me that cloying crap.
Mm-hmm.
Just solve the problem. You know, give me good service. Well, you know, what always happens is you get switched around,
yep,
right?
Yep,
You've had that?
Well, the first thing is you've got to get in. You have to get in.
Right.
It's usually a recording.
Yes.
You know, punch these numbers.
30 minutes later, if you're lucky.
And invariably, my issue is not something that's on their menu of, to pay a bill, press 1. If your bill is late, press 2, whatever it is.
If you're Tony Perkins, press 4.
That's right. And I always press 0 because usually that gets you to a representative. They don't tell you that, but usually press 0, you'll go to a representative.
Or if you keep yelling, customer service.
I know.
Customer service. Sometimes it'll say... It sounds like you would like to talk to a representative.
Right, right.
Because finally you break through the monotony of the recorded voice.
Or it doesn't understand you. You yell, customer service. It sounds like you want to order a mattress. Press 1.
Yes. Yeah. You can't win.
It's
so
a phone company. I'm ordering a
mattress. How about this? You get somebody finally, and they say, how may I help you?
Mm-hmm.
And you tell them the long, drawn-out story of everything you need for them to do and the problem you have and that no one's been able to solve it. And then they say, let me get somebody to help you.
Oh.
And you say, I just threw my heart across the desk here and I told you everything I need. Do I have to say the whole thing over again?
Yeah.
And they say, yes, you do.
Yes. Yes,
and that's
yes,
what happened.
Yeah,
it was do it over.
Drives me crazy.
There are no alternatives, though.
I know it's, and that's what infuriates me so much, because there are no alternatives. This is what you have to do to try to get any kind of good, reasonable customer service and to get your problem solved.
Right, right. And then so if you're lucky enough, and I was, she got me to somebody else. And I said, we've been trying to solve this for 2 days, and I can't get anywhere. And then you get that person who, even though she's saccharine, mm-hmm, and obsequious, which is a word I love, and cloying and all of that,
mm-hmm,
she actually says, I'm going to take care of this right now for you, and you will no longer have this problem. Let's go through it step by step, and I will take care of this. Now, normally, that's the person who does.
Mm-hmm.
And in this case, she did. It wasn't that hard.
Well,
she solved the problem. But then I resent this. At the very end of it, she says, let me review what we've done. Now, I don't need the review.
Maybe she's a part-time substitute teacher.
Yeah.
Let's review.
But they all do this.
You were angry. Yeah. You were upset. You yelled at me.
You were first, sir, you were very rude.
Yes. I was so sorry you called.
Right. Then you said you wanted to order a mattress. I did not say I wanted to order a mattress. But here's the other thing that you didn't mention. Okay, you call. You punch in your account number and all that kind of stuff. Then you finally get to the person. And what does the person say? I have your account number?
Exactly.
And I always say, I just punched it in. I know, sir. It didn't come into my computer. Why didn't it? Why do we have to punch it in if it doesn't go to your computer?
See, I know. I've heard you many times with this, and you try to get them to be reasonable and logical, and that's your mistake. There is no logic to this, but you're right. Every time they ask for the information, the next person never has it.
Right. That's right.
And you have to do it all over again.
It's ridiculous.
And I want to know, why can't they get the person back that I just left, and they don't know who that is?
Right, right.
And they say there's no way you can get that person.
This is one of my biggest pet peeves, and I think it's everybody's pet peeve. And, you know, my mom and I talked about this recently because she was having issues dealing with her bank and her mortgage company. You could spend, and I probably do spend, a couple of days a month when you add all that time up dealing with this kind of stuff, trying to correct problems that I didn't create.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You all didn't. I got a bill recently. Here's what I got from, we have a timeshare that we almost, you know, we got sucked in.
A lot of people have those.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
You pay yearly, you say you're going to go, you never really go.
Never go.
You never use it?
We
look at Gary.
you have never once offered me the timeshare.
I meant to say we.
How many years have you had
constantly, since 99 when we met.
You've had it since 99. And let me just ask, where is the timeshare?
Please punch in your account number now. It's in Hawaii.
It's really? Yeah, I guess living in Jersey, I would never want to go to Hawaii. So it's free because you paid for it.
But here's my point. There's
no way you can save it now, but go ahead. Try. Just try. Go on.
Jesus.
They did not send me my the tax bill, right? The property tax bill.
Yeah.
They sent me a bill that says this amount is past due. The same day, I get a postcard from the management company saying bills did not go out on time for some reason, so you won't be billed a late charge. So I call them and I say, okay, I just got this bill. I'll send it in about a month or whatever. She says, well, it's due the 20th. This was just last week.
Mm-hmm.
She said, it's due the 20th. I said, well, no, I just got it. That's 7 days from now. Right. I don't have this money right now to pay this bill. You guys sent it late.
Because you're kind of broke. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, budget. You just don't have money lying around.
Right.
And she said, well, I understand, but it's due. We did delay the due date since the bills went out late, and now the due date is the 20th. I said, well, you delayed it by like 5 or 6 days. That's not helpful.
I'm in D.C.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Exactly. I got to send a check to Hawaii. That's not going to get there.
No.
And
no,
she didn't. And I kept saying to her, she kept saying, well, you don't have to pay it till the 20th. I said, that's a week from now. I'm not ready to pay it in a week.
Yeah.
Right.
She never got it.
So, you know what? I get it. Could I just say that lame-ass story that you just told... You know, to try to explain again why I haven't gotten a free trip to Hawaii.
Well, it's not free. It's not free. It's not,
he's got to pay the dues.
Do you pay the dues every year?
Yeah.
It's free to me.
No.
Right?
How many times, and you're right, you're right, Tony, because families and couples and single guys get into this where you get somewhere, you love it.
Yeah.
And you're like, I'm going to come back here every year. We're going to do this. How many times have you been back since you signed?
Oh, no.
Oh, okay.
No, we were there and bought the timeshare. We've never been back.
But
here's the thing. Wow. No.
Yeah.
You know how you trade for other places?
Oh, okay.
Do that.
Should I come back in the room?
We do that.
Yeah. Let me sit down again.
We have done that. So we haven't gone to Hawaii, but we've gone to other places.
Because they have resorts around the world.
Around the world.
Have you used it every year?
We're going to Virginia Beach next week.
Have you used the timeshare every year?
I can't recall, counselor, if it's been every year.
you again, it's Hawaii or around the world or Virginia Beach.
Who asked you?
It's easiest. See?
Asked you?
There's a theme here.
Let's just remember, it's his birthday. What a great opportunity for him to give something to someone else.
I'm going to try to tell this story very short because this relates to your phone call story. You know the company, I'm going to name them.
Yeah,
ARS, American Residential Services, I think is what it stands for. Mm-hmm. They install and manufacture provide maintenance for heating and air conditioning systems. Okay, that's our company. This was a few years ago. They had a guarantee that we guarantee we'll be there by the time we say we're going to be there. If not, you'll get $100. We'll give you $100, something like that. Yeah. I think it was a check at the time.
Wow.
We'll give you a check for $100. So, we had an appointment. It was one of those, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. type things. We're waiting. Of course, they don't show up. Whenever you want them to show up in the early part of that thing, they never do. We have some place that we have to go. So it's like 12:45, 15 minutes left. We call them. We say, hey, we had an appointment here. You said 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. The guy's not here yet, and we have other things we have to do. Where is he? Let me check, sir. He's on a call in some other city, maybe 20 miles away. He's wrapping that up, and you're the next on the list. I said, well, he's not going to get here by 1 o'clock. Yes, sir, the other call took longer than we thought it would. So I said, well, we can't, you know, we got someplace to go. Tell him not to come. I don't want it. So the next time I call to reschedule the appointment, I said, by the way, we need the check for $100 because the guy didn't make it to our place on time. Guess what they said?
What?
You don't get the check for $100 because this is what they said. He was supposed to get there. If he didn't get there before your appointment time was over, then you get the $100. I said, well, my appointment time was almost over. I called. They said he wouldn't make it, so I canceled the appointment. Yes, sir. You didn't give him the opportunity to be late for your appointment.
Oh, wow.
That is literally what they said. You did not give him the opportunity to be late for the appointment.
And you're always really good with this kind of logic, so how did you respond?
This is the maddest I've ever been on a phone call. We got into it. We really, really got into it. That's why my house has no air conditioning.
I was wondering why I was so warm sleeping over last night. I kept feeling like it's so hot I could be in Hawaii now.
I'll tell you something. If you want to cool off, you know, the big thing that's going around right now is the ALS challenge, which Rob Ford here. Did someone challenge you and you did it?
I was challenged by Rob Spiewak.
Oh, very good.
Michael
Mara
show.
It's going around.
And cake and cookies.
So did you do it or did you write the check?
I did do it, and then I donated a smaller amount in addition.
See, very good. That's how they're getting over. I mean, I shouldn't say getting over. It's a
charity.
Yeah. It's a charity.
The racket.
But people...
not like it's, trying to not cure like disease. It's for a good cause or anything.
We'll edit that out later. but, you know, because people are doing the challenge and they're paying the money. They've made over $31 million was the last I heard, which is fantastic.
It's wild.
And this is, it's for ALS. This is a disease where they are actually, the research, they are making strides in treating this disease. So
they
is
probably
great.
Have enough money now and they probably stopped the challenge.
Well, no, they haven't stopped the challenge. Rob Ford challenged me as well as some other people. So I did it a couple of days ago and we've posted this on our Facebook page and all of that. But can we play that so people hear
my
that?
Son Connor, his friend Gabe. I was nominated to do the ALS Ice Bucket Challenge by Connor and Julie Wright and Brian Wilson and Rob Ford Jr. and others. I hereby nominate to take this challenge Kevin McCarthy, Annie Yu, Harry Stein. All right.
Three, two, one.
That was cold, man. That's cold.
Yes.
And Connor put the bucket on my head and left it on my head. You can go
great
on.
Great video.
Yeah,
great
it
video.
Is great video. Go to our Facebook page. You can see the, or go to our, where do they see it? Facebook?
They can find it on Facebook.
Facebook. We tweeted it out as well. But as you heard, Gary, I have now challenged you.
Yeah, thank you so much, Tony.
And actually,
you don't like charity?
Yeah, no. I like charity. I have to admit something too. I would say about 2 weeks ago, Rob Ford challenged me, and I just ignored it.
Oh,
I did.
Oh no!
Yeah, I did.
Oh no! Big-timed me.
I don't think I responded. I thought, you know, I'll get to it. Maybe I'll send the money instead, and then you challenge. So now I've been challenged twice. I haven't done it. And I know you all expect me to do it at the end of the show today, don't you?
Yes, we do. Yeah.
What's the holdup?
Why don't you mind your own business? the holdup.
You don't like cold water.
You know what? And Sarah can back me up on this. We have an in-ground pool.
Mm-hmm.
And
sounds nice.
Yeah.
Who needs to go to Hawaii? You got an in-ground pool.
Exactly. I saved up for 15 years and I got the pool. It's really very nice. And I tried to paint the bottom blue aqua, that aqua color like you see in Hawaii.
Yes.
It didn't work. Sarah knows this. I won't go in the pool if it's under 80 degrees.
Oh my goodness.
It's got to be 80 degrees or I won't go in. So
is it a heated pool?
No. Oh. No, it just takes a few days of really oppressive weather.
He uses for it like me to 2 weeks a year.
I really go in 3 times a summer. It's like having a timeshare you don't use. It's like, so
you can relate.
So look, I am going to do the challenge at the end of the show. I have to. It's a great cause. Although, look, because I don't like getting wet and I don't like being cold, I did contact somebody in the Lou Gehrig family, and they and you know the disease,
yes.
You know, it
named
was,
after Lou Gehrig.
Yeah, well, yeah, well, they call it the Lou Gehrig's disease, yeah. But it's really ALS.
Yes, that's
and
right.
They told me that because I made the phone call and I cared so much that I don't really have to
do
it. Oh,
because you called and just chatted with somebody.
Yeah, I called a distant relative of Lou Gehrig's. And said, "Can I get a pass on this?"
I don't think that's in the fine print.
Because every time the movie is on, I watch it.
That is just
the
not
Lou Gehrig
count.
Story. It's the pride of the Yankees with Gary Cooper. Yeah, I watch it every time it's on.
That doesn't mean anything.
So I'm doing it.
You are going to do it because when I posted it on my Fox 5 Facebook page, 90,000 people have seen it. It's the biggest thing I've ever posted. Yeah,
that's incredible.
So people are waiting for you to do this.
Well, 90,000.
Isn't that amazing?
That's how many people wanted to see Tony get wet. So we'll see what happens when I do it.
That is a good point.
Do you know who you're going to nominate? You don't have to tell us now.
That's right.
It's going to be a nice surprise, but you know?
I do.
Okay, good.
And I the only hint I will give you is that I'm not sure I'll be able to go home again.
Now, I hope it's not someone who spent some time to sing to me today in a very wonderful and beautiful way.
That was you singing to yourself. Well, you'll have to wait and see, won't you?
Okay. All right. Yeah. We, you know what we did not do at the top of the show? We have a great guest today that we didn't promote at the top of the show, but we are going to make a phone call. Gary, as I guess kind of a nice surprise for my birthday, made a call last week to a dear friend who we don't see often enough. Spencer Christian, who was the weatherman on Good Morning America before I got there. He was a weatherman on Good Morning America for 13 years. I dare say one of the most loved network morning TV personalities ever.
Absolutely.
Nicest guy in the world. And we're calling him.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun with Spencer, you know, over the years because people would think that we didn't know him or that you guys had some adversarial thing. Because,
Right.
We love this guy.
Oh, he's fantastic. I'd never met him until I got to Good Morning America, and then we would have him on from time to time.
Hello.
Hey, is this Spencer Christian?
It is indeed.
Spencer, this is Tony Perkins, your long-lost brother.
It's the guy who looks like you, Spencer.
Tony. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great. You are on the show with us right now. How are you, sir?
I'm doing fine. I'm just fine. Great to hear from you. You know, it's been a long time since we connected.
People get
very confused when they see us together. I wonder how they'll feel when they hear us together.
Yeah, this will be the true test. Do we sound alike on the podcast like we look alike on TV?
Well, Spencer, when I spoke to you the other day, one of the first things you referenced was, remember the day that I came to Good Morning America and I was in the audience with Tony doing the weather with Tony. And yes, of course, I remember that. That was a high point.
That was so much fun. That was my first visit back to the show since my departure. And I was standing there in the audience and, you know, I was on vacation. I hadn't shaved in about 3 days. I had a scruffy face. So Tony comes over and picks me out of the crowd and says, "There's a familiar looking gentleman." I said, "Yeah, I used to be Spencer Christian."
People were so thrilled. They were so happy to see you. I guess that was probably about a year or two after you had left the show, something like that.
Yeah, I think it was just about a year or maybe two after I left the show. That's right.
Yeah.
And then there was the only other time we had a chance to be together on the air was during the 30th anniversary broadcast in 2005.
That's right.
We're at the kidding about the two light-skinned black guys.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
I forgot that.
Yes.
I forgot that.
That's
we
right.
did joke about that on the air.
Exactly. People still mention that to me.
And we're the light-skinned black guys. That's right. That's right.
That was so funny even back when we were on the show, Spencer, because people would confuse Tony for you.
Oh, my goodness.
And I used to get this. You know, all the PR people would call to pitch a segment. And this was even like maybe 3 or 4 years after you left the show. People would call me and say, "I have a phenomenal segment to pitch you for Spencer." And I would say, "Well, that's a great idea, but you know, he's in San Francisco and maybe you want to call him out there." But I didn't know if it was that they thought that you were still on because, you know, they hired Tony. It's so weird that they look. I have to say that it's so weird that they hired a guy after the previous guy left, and they thought, let's get somebody who looks just like him. You know,
it's amazing. You know, I've always said, Gary, I owe Tony a great debt of gratitude for keeping my memory alive because by reminding, I'm serious, Tony, because by reminding people of me, it kept them from forgetting about me. But the second part of that is you are the most exceptional gentleman. You are so gracious and so you were so accepting of that circumstance. You know, you never seemed to resent the fact that people were confusing us, and I just think you're a great gentleman for that.
Well, thank you very much. And you know, listen, when you would come back and visit, and you know, I would here's the thing, and you know, it's going to sound like a love fest here for a minute. Spencer never ever came and said, hey, I want to go on. Can I do something? We would always have to kind of coax you and say, you know, people are going to love this. And it's, you know, it's just great to see us standing next to each other. It is rather funny because we do resemble each other. Now, let me say this. Before we met in person and I'd seen pictures of you, I used to think I don't look that much like him. Then when I first met you, I thought, and I think we looked at each other, we were even wearing similar clothing the first time we met. And we shook our heads. We shook our heads. I said, I don't believe it. This is my brother.
Well, the resemblance is pretty remarkable. You know, pretty much the same complexion. We both have receding hairlines. Right. We both wear glasses. We both had mustaches. And actually, there was even a similar quality in our voices. Not exactly the same, but similar in our laughter.
Right,
so you can see why there was the confusion. But as Garrett pointed out, it is kind of funny that after management had said something about searching for a female weather person, I think they specifically said initially after my departure that they were looking for a blonde female weather person, and they ended up with my brother.
You know, there's a part of me that, honest to God, thinks there was something intentional in that. I really do think they thought, you know what, let's not shake things up too much, because the show was going through changes after many years of success with you and Charlie and Joan. The show had gone through one cast change and now was about to go through another. I honestly believe part of it was, you know what, this will be a familiar kind of look or chemistry, and people will feel comfortable with this.
Yeah. Hey, and you know what's remarkable about that show, Tony, with Gary, with all the changes it has gone through over the years, there's still been a certain continuity. I mean, you know, when changes are initially made, of course, there's an adjustment to be made by the people on the air and by the viewers getting used to the new team members, new family members. But there's still a certain continuity. I mean, when you think about the GMA franchise, you know, all the familiar names from the past still come back. And when any of us happen to make a trip up there these days, as I did a couple of months ago, we are warmly embraced by the current team. It's a pretty remarkable tradition they've got there.
Well, it's you know, this here's what's remarkable. I know you went on, what was it, a month or two ago? How you were in New York
2 months ago?
Two months ago, and Spencer was on for 2 days. I guess is that right?
That's right.
Yeah.
Thursday and Friday.
He was on for a Thursday and Friday doing the weather, filling in, first time in many, many years. And the response on Facebook and the like, oh my goodness, it was an explosion of people. Spencer, where have you been? We love you. You know, it was amazing. That must make you feel great.
Tony, it was such a gratifying feeling. First of all, I was so excited to be back on the show. I've been out here in San Francisco for 15 years now, and this is no slight against my current station. I love what I'm doing. But those 2 days in GMA back in June were the two most exciting days I've had in broadcasting in 15 years.
Oh, I get it.
Spencer, it had to be wildly gratifying that the numbers went through the roof. You told me a number the other day. I don't remember what it was, but it was ridiculous.
Well, I have a friend who works in research and specializes in at ABC, who specializes in tracking social media stuff. And she said that after the second day there were 17,000 likes on the GMA Facebook page.
Wow.
And I don't know what the final count was, but something like 1,700 specific individual comments, you know, saying complimentary things. And so, yeah, it's very gratifying. It's very gratifying.
Now,
but it's just exciting to be back there, you know?
Sure. Now, here's the only problem, Spencer, and I don't resent you or hate you for this, but so, you know, after you went on, I called them about a month later, said, hey, I'd love to come back too. They said, yeah, we already had Spencer. We don't need you.
Hey, but Spencer, but I called after that, and I said the same thing just to try to help, and they said, well, wasn't Tony just on?
You're exactly right. Wasn't he just on? Exactly. My gosh. Well, I want to do what you guys are doing. I want to have a show like this. This sounds like fun.
Oh, this is so much fun, Spencer. And you'd be great at it. This is right up your alley.
This is right up your alley. Well, in fact, I want to talk about a couple of things because people knew this when you won Good Morning America. And we do want to mention your station, KGO. Spencer,
yes, KGO.
went to KGO in San Francisco, top of his game all 15 years. In fact, someone who just left my station, Fox 5 in Washington, just joined you all, Drew Tuma.
That is correct.
Yeah, young weather guy. He was so excited when he got this gig, and he only just got it recently. He's a young guy. He worked. Here's how good this guy is. He was with Channel 5, I'm going to say 3 months, and then KGO came calling. When he said he was going to KGO, I said, oh, my goodness, you're going to work with Spencer Christian. I know Spencer. He was so thrilled that he was. So I hope you take good care of him out there.
Yeah, well, you know, he's a terrific young guy. He's been on the air now for a couple of weeks. He's doing a terrific job. In fact, he looked comfortable on the air his first day, which is unusual when you're doing weather because you have to get familiar with the geography, the names of the towns and all that. And I told him that I was going to be on the show with you and Gary today, and he was so excited. He said, oh, please, you've got to tell Tony I said hello. Give Tony my regards. Let him know I think the world of him. So another mutual admiration society going on there.
He's a good guy. So you've been at KGO, pardon me, 15 years now. Are you still doing the whole wine thing? I know you're a wine connoisseur. Do you still have your own wine?
I'm still a wine enthusiast, Tony. I get up to the wine country here in Napa, Sonoma, or any of the other wine-growing regions fairly often, once or twice a month, just to visit or to attend wine tasting functions or wine dinners. I don't still have my own wine show. I was doing a show back in the late 90s and into the early 2000s.
Mm-hmm.
That was on HGTV and then the Food Channel. However, I am currently trying to launch a new wine show, and I've been making the necessary contacts. And KGO, which is the ABC-owned station out here, has been terrific in giving me the freedom to pursue these other interests, as long as they're not in conflict, of course, with my position there.
Spencer,
so, yeah,
Spencer,
work,
Spencer I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Do you need a co-host?
Hey!
What's going on?
Wow! I knew it.
Well, did you mean you or Tony?
You know what?
Let me tell you. Brothers stick together.
I don't think he meant it that way. I don't think he meant it that way. I didn't think of this, but I think Tony should be the co-host because then this will be the Gary Stein Show.
Oh, that is
oh
funny.
My God!
Oh man!
Well, you know, in the world of wine, we do these blind tastings where you put two wines side by side with no label and see if the person tasting can tell which is a Cabernet Sauvignon, which is a Zinfandel.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if they put Tony and me side by side, it would be like a blind viewing. Can you tell which is Spencer, which is Tony?
That's right. You know what? I want to go back to something because you when we were first talking about when I came into Good Morning America, and you're right. I never resented the fact that I was compared to you. It was funny, and I always tell this story because I'd been there. Literally, this went on. I am not exaggerating. It went on a good 2 years into my time there. I mean, and here's what would happen. I would come downstairs. Gary would introduce me. Here's Tony Perkins. I'd come down to where the crowd would be gathered downstairs at Times Square Studios. Everyone would applaud. I'd shake hands and all that kind of stuff. Gary and I would chat with them. I would do the weather. Sometimes Charlie and Diane would come downstairs, stand next to me. They promote coming up. We've got George Clooney, whatever. But right now, here's Tony Perkins with the weather. Thank you, Charlie. Thank you, Diane. I would do the weather. toss it to the local station, come back, and I'd say, and that's what's happening in your neighborhood, whatever it was I said. And then we would, we'd be clear. I'd turn around to the audience, and they'd say, that was great, Spencer. Can we take a picture?
And
I would think, didn't you just hear them? Didn't you hear Charlie and Diane say, and now here's Tony Perkins? But
gosh, how did you deal with that?
Well, you know what? And you're going to appreciate this. Charlie Gibson, who I know is you two are dear friends. Charlie and I also yes. became very tight during my time at GMA. He was fantastic to me. And I actually went to him once and I was a little down and I said, you know, they still call me Spencer. He said, Tony, it just takes time. He said, you know, people call me David Hartman.
They called him Joan.
They called him Joan sometimes. you know.
Well, that was only on Friday night.
That was Friday night. Yeah. But you know, it things move at a glacial pace, and people get used to who they get used to. And in some ways it was kind of a compliment. It was cool. And Charlie gave me great counsel, and eventually the tide turned and all that kind of stuff. But honestly, it only bothered me in that I thought maybe I'm not making an impact, but it was that
right.
we truly did resemble each other. We're going to put a picture up. In fact, it'll be up now. We'll put the picture up on our Facebook page. You and I took a great photo together years ago, and you know, it made sense. I understood it. Charlie helped me through that.
Right. Charlie's a great guy, and he and I are still in fairly regular contact. I mean, we email each other maybe once every couple of months. Mm-hmm. When I was out there to fill in on GMA 2 months ago, he and I had dinner together the night before my first appearance.
That's great. That's great. I like hearing that.
You both shared that too, because you know I do know that you're close to him, and he was very close to Tony, I think we probably miss Charlie the most, you know, from our GMA days.
The two greatest friends I made during my time at Good Morning America were Gary Stein and Charlie Gibson, easily.
Wow. Yeah. How about that? That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a good guy.
It's heartwarming to see the friendship between you and Gary, because, you know, you guys were put together as what producer and talent, I guess.
Yeah.
And you became great friends, and now you're doing a show together all these years later. I think that's terrific.
We've talked about it on this show. We had a great time working together. Good Morning America. You know that routine. It can be, it is a wonderful platform, but it can be tough.
It is.
We were in the trenches demanding. Together. Yeah. And it was,
I was sleep deprived the whole 13 years I was on the show.
Yeah. You never get used to the hours, right?
Yeah.
No, that's right. Plus, I did a lot of traveling, as you know. You did your share as well. You know, they send you on these remotes, and so you in different time zones. So, you know, it's tough enough if you're right there in the Eastern time zone and you're getting up at 3:30 or 3:45 in the morning to be at work. But if they send you to the West Coast and you have to broadcast live for the Eastern time zone, it's pointless to even go to bed.
Yeah,
might as well just stay up all night.
Yeah, because you're on at 4 o'clock in the morning.
4 a.m. Yeah, people don't realize that.
Exactly.
And, you know, and when you work with the show, you work 24 hours, essentially. You're on call any time. If they decide
that's
late
right.
in the day, Spencer, we want you to be in San Antonio for such and such tomorrow, or there's a weather event, well, then you got to pack a bag real quick and you go. It's tough.
It's true. I was called twice while I was on vacation with my family saying, we need you to come back right now, or not come back here, but we need to send you somewhere right away. Yeah. There's an event happening, or there's a hurricane or whatever.
Yeah.
So, you live it 24 hours a day.
It's too bad back then you didn't know Tony, because if you were on vacation and you said, I'll be right there, and you called Tony and sent him, they wouldn't have known the difference.
There you go.
That would have been so. I wish we had done that. Because I did come out to San Francisco a few times. We should have put you on.
I know. That would have been. Oh, Gary, that's brilliant. I wish I thought of that. I mean, I could have stayed out of those 14 hurricanes I was in.
That's right.
Spencer, I encourage you. If you ever get the opportunity to do a podcast, something like this, you would love it, because you get to do what you want to do. You could do wine, whatever it is you'd want to do. And you know, your personality translates. You would just have a ball. You really would.
Well, I'm going to take your advice and look into that, because, you know, as I told you, I'm trying to launch a new wine show. And it would be on digital platforms and social media. It wouldn't mm-hmm. be on conventional broadcast TV. Maybe I should look into the podcast idea.
I think you should too. And you know, you're also the king of the punsters. So so your show would be funny and informational. And I think, you know what? If we keep pushing this, he's going to be bigger than we are.
Yeah, I don't know. Here I go again. Yeah. Maybe I
you
don't
guys are
to
too funny.
Listen, man, we are so happy to talk to you. It's great that you would take some time to spend with us today. We really, really appreciate it. I miss you. I thank you for your kind words, not just today, but back then when I was doing Good Morning America. Your counsel, your friendship, it meant a lot to me and still does.
Well, I the same feelings go from me to you and to Gary. I really appreciate the fact that you guys reached out to me and had me on the show with you this morning. And let's do it again.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, sure. Okay. Love to.
We'll talk to you soon, Spencer.
Okay, guys. Thanks
Take care,
a lot.
Buddy.
Right. Have a great day.
You too. Okay, thank you. Spencer Christian.
Wow. I know he's off the air now. We can still say wonderful, warm things about him. You know, when we went out to San Francisco mm-hmm. and we interviewed Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young, mm-hmm. we met him for dinner.
We had dinner. Yeah. It was at a restaurant. It was at a time.
Usually you do that. You have dinner at a restaurant.
No. But there was a group of us, as I recall, a small group.
Yes.
And, man, he knows his stuff about wine. He was introducing all the wines and telling us what goes with what and all that kind of thing.
Absolutely. But I think that people always expected weirdness. Because of the relationship and the fact that, you know, you took over after him mm-hmm. and there never was any weirdness.
No, there was
just like a lot of love and fun.
Yeah.
I loved contacting Spencer whenever we were out there.
Yeah.
And the thing that he did do, he reminded us, I thought he was simply going to do the weather with you. Mm-hmm. That wasn't it. He came in to visit. He was going to hang out with Charlie.
Yeah.
He didn't want to insinuate himself into something. So he literally went downstairs and stood in the audience to watch the show.
Isn't that amazing?
That's ridiculous.
Seriously, this was his, he just wanted to be down there. He didn't really, like he said, he had not shaved.
He could have made a fuss.
Yeah.
He could have gone in there and said, get me a pass.
Right.
I need some TV time.
And I mean, the guy was on for 13 years, a verifiable early morning TV star.
Star.
You know.
Known all over the country.
He was the most humble guy in the world. Never, never did that. And we had to ask him, come on, it'll be fun.
Exactly. It'll be
fun. And he was always very nice about that.
Speaking of humble, we thought we wouldn't have time, but we do have time.
Oh,
no.
Yeah.
No. Really? I wanted to keep talking about Spencer. and you know what else happened with Spencer?
It's time for Gary to take the ALS Ice Bucket Challenge.
I think I'm going to call it a plunge.
So here's what we're going to do. We'll play a little music. That'll give us time to run outside. And we'll do this thing. And
We'll pick up outside.
Yeah.
I can't wait. I can't wait. This is going to be so exciting. All right, here we go.
Here we go. You're throwing away a fortune and feeling, but someday you'll pay. You're as cold as ice. You're willing to sacrifice our love.
The Tony Perkins Show, featuring Gary Stein.
Okay, so I agreed to do the ALS challenge, but I want to do it myself. I'm going to pour the ice on my own head. But before I do that, I'd like to nominate my friend Paul Bardick and my wife Sarah Partridge to do it next. Because if I have to do it with all this ice and all this water, then I think that they should do it too. Okay, here I go.
Come on. Don't be a wimp.
I'm not a wimp.
You can take it.
I'm not a wimp. Ah! Oh my God! That's cold. That's very cold.
This wraps up the show. Thanks, Spencer Christian, for being on. You're a trooper, man.
We might be back next week if I dry off by then.
All right, let me get my towel.
Thank you.
The Tony Perkins Show. A more broadcasting presentation. This is Dude Walker speaking. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.